ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Now, I was just telling you about a company that's just shipped out about 14,000 tonnes of magnesite out of the Darwin port. That ship is bound for Japan. On the line now, we've got Jeff Elliott, who is the chair of Thessaly Resources. Great to have you on, Jeff.
Hi, Matt. Thanks very much for having me.
Tell us about this shipment.
Yeah, well, look, it's the first shipment in 30 years of magnesite. We have a mineral project down near Batchelor, about 10 k's to the east of Batchelor, about 80 k's south of Darwin Port. And it's called the Hugh and Dot Project, originally named after Hugh and Dot, a couple that had a melon farm on the woodcutter's mine.
Yep.
And before the woodcutter's mine was there. So it sort of backs onto the southern boundary of the rehabilitated woodcutter's mine. And actually, Normandy Poseidon, who used to own the woodcutter's mine, were the last people involved in the project. And 30 years ago, they dug a little test pit, or quite a big test pit. About 100,000 cubic metres of material came out of it, and they shipped about 26,000 tonnes back then in 1995 all the way to Canada for trials off the magnesite, which is the purest form for making magnesium. Mag wheels, it's a light, high strength metal, which can be alloyed with aluminium and so on. Then it's used for aviation bodies, laptop computer, anything that needs to be light and strong, essentially. And so that was successful trials all the way back in 1995, but then it didn't really go forward. To set up a magnesium refinery is quite a big undertaking. Currently, China produces about over 90% of the world's magnesium. So really that's the story that got us involved, was that this common story that probably lots of your listeners have heard about with critical minerals, that China controls the supply chain.
Is magnesite on that list?
Magnesite is on that list. It's list of the US Geological Survey, the Australian list of critical minerals, Japan and EU. And it's on that list not because of its rarity, but because of control of supply, and that control is dominated by China. So I guess whilst people have been happily buying stuff from China and will probably continue, there's also people now looking at where else can we get it from to diversify our supply chains, and Japan is one of those countries that's looking at that. There's no resources of magnesite outside China in the Southeast Asia area. You've got resources in China, North Korea, and Russia, and then sort of places like Afghanistan and so on, and then really Australia, and the Northern Territory deposits are high grade and very similar to the Chinese deposits.
Now, your company hasn't just rocked up today. I think I found the last time the country I spoke to you was in 2016. So you've been working away on this. Is there anything in particular that's triggered it all to now become an export?
I think just this, changing geopolitical environment. I mean, magnesite has very many uses. Many people get magnesite mixed up with magnetite. It's only an S or a T that's different. Magnetite is an iron ore. Magnesite is magnesium carbonate. In its raw form, it can be used as a fluxing agent in steel refining processes. So it's added to the coal and the iron ore, and it helps pull out impurities into slag. It can also be crushed and applied to in agriculture for soil improvement, or if you have acidic soils like you do in tropical environments. And it can be used in water purification and so on. But then essentially with a very simple process, much like converting limestone to lime, you heat it up in a kiln, much like the Mataranka kiln, and it then takes the gas out of the magnesium carbonate, turns into a magnesium oxide, and then that's a feedstock for a whole bunch of other things, all the way including things like quickies tablets and things to stop cramps. So all types of pharmaceuticals, all types of chemicals, water purification, environmental remediation.
It's in everything. So this is off to Japan. to be trialled by a major steel refiner. If all goes to plan for your company, what's happening next in this space, especially for that Bachelor region?
Yeah, well, look, as you said, it's, you know, a long time coming. Got involved in the project in 2010. And then 2016, when I sort of last spoke to you, we were doing exploration, and we've done further exploration there with the support of the NTGS. But we've shown that there's a resource there of about 17 million tonnes to just 60 metres deep, which is very shallow for a deposit. We drilled down to 170 metres deep, and we were still in the magnesite ore. So we think there's an exploration target there with the resource in total of around 100 million tonnes from surface. Depending on the results of the trials in Japan, we're hopeful that the Japanese will want to enter into long-term offtake agreements with us to source some of their supply from us. That would mean that we then have the necessary sort of backing from a customer to go ahead and get the full mine permits, you know, mining leases, and go through the EPA processes to create an open pit mine with a crushing circuit. That would be stage one, and that would create direct shipping magnesite ores similar to the 14,000 tons we just exported on Sunday. And then once that gets going, we'd then look at a stage two of putting in a kiln and gas-fired and solar, combined solar and gas-fired kiln.
So is there a second shipment ready to go, or no? It's see how this first one goes and assess from there.
We got permits for two. We originally got the permits for one back in the end of 2022, and planned to do it in 2023. And then due to sort of economic conditions at the time, the Japanese sort of asked if we could halt it. So we... In 2024, we did some more drilling and some more test work and continued our baseline water sampling and monitoring and so on to look at impact to help with our permitting. And then in 2024, they came back and said, look, we'd like to do it in 2025. They then said, would it be possible to get a second shipment? Because they've got two, this particular customer's got two refineries and they wanted to send two boatloads. But we went and got the permits, but unfortunately they said, look, probably not at this time. We'll just take the one, thanks. So that's where we're at the moment. And then we went back into the historical open pit that was there, that was full of water, and so we sucked the water out and cleaned it up, and then and took it out of there. So it sort of had very low impact. And but next time around, if we do get the positive support from the Japanese as a customer, we'll then look at opening up a new open pit mine with all the appropriate infrastructure and studies done and permits.
Okay. Well, thanks so much for sharing time today. And, the country, I might catch up with you out near Bachelor one day.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a fantastic town and a fantastic community. We got a lot of support from there and involved a lot of people, and I couldn't speak highly enough of that little community.